Hallelujah. That's right. Let's glorify that name some more, Lord. I thank you for giving us that name. I thank you for the revelation to this dispensation of that name and all that it means, all that it entails. There is power and there is salvation. There is healing in that name, Lord. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And aren't we glad we know that name, which is Jesus. Pray, we love to say it. We love to worship it. We love to sing it. And he loves for us to do all of those things and more, to pray in that mighty name of Jesus. And there is nothing that this God cannot do. There is nothing that he cannot do. Praise God. Do you believe that? I know. I sense that you do. Would you give him another praise for his magnificent greatness, Lord? It is excellent. It is beyond our understanding. Your greatness, your love, and you bless us, Lord. And you may be seated. It is so important that we live righteous, sinless, moral lives. We must, if we want, number one, to be spiritually successful, to really feel fulfilled. There is a pleasure to sin for a season, but for real, true life happiness, if we will live according to God's word and his will, which is righteousness, sinlessness, and his morals, we will be fulfilled and we will be the influence that God intends for us to be. Living right is, I'm going to talk about this a little later, it is about making it to heaven. That is so very important. But God has more reasons on this side of glory for you to live right. He intends for us to be salt and light, influence in the world and individuals around us. So we must, if we want that factor in our lives. But then it is true that secondly, we must live righteous moral lives to be ready spiritually so that you will miss hell and make heaven. It's all important. I can't emphasize as your pastor clearly enough the importance of your daily spiritual life and your daily spiritual preparation. Spirituality will not happen automatically. And no matter how long this somewhat has taken me, I don't know, by surprise, but, you know, it was just something I just wasn't so much anticipating, because you think the more you're around, just it's almost like the more automatic it will become. But we all are still flesh. And there is that nature inside of us that would tend to the human fleshly carnal side. So it takes constant intentionality and living a daily spiritual life and have daily preparation. This was the birth of the message today. Last month, about mid part of the month, someone stepped into my office for a few brief moments. But in those few brief moments, they made a statement that has lasted and hopefully will last long in my memory. This was their words. Pastor, the Bible says a spot or a blemish. And then they went on to finish. You can be in church and yet not be where you need to be. Those words come from Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That admonition, that description, that presentation that he's talking about, and just please hear me today, it's just as true now as when Paul was anointed and inspired and was writing it down for the very first time. We're thousands of years removed, but nothing changes the Word of God. It is forever settled. Only a blemish. You know, just a little can make a big difference, both positively and negatively. It's true in many areas of life. Just a little less or a little bit too much in a recipe can make a world of difference. In building, construction, in space travel, one faulty piece of track can derail an entire train. One faulty $25 valve on a missile in part of our missile system cost the military $22 billion, paying the bill from the damages to the missile and to the surrounding launch site. A little can make a big difference. One little match can ignite one little spark, which ignites only one fire, which will burn thousands of acres. One drink can start someone on a road to addiction. One false witness can send somebody to prison for numbers of years. One glance or seemingly chance encounter or conversation can start an immoral affair. You see, really, little things aren't so little. Addictions start as experiments. Sin starts as a temptation. Idols start as just a distraction. And backsliding starts with self-centeredness and self-will. And a little means a lot where sin is concerned. A little bit, just a teaspoon of poison, is very dangerous and deadly in a big old pitcher of sweet iced tea. A little means a lot where sin is concerned. Solomon wrote, "Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good." James said, "Whoever keeps the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Jesus taught, "Whoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men to do so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom." A little means a lot. And then Paul's description of the church. He said it must be without a spot, without a wrinkle, and he's talking about church. He's talking about, as you know, each individual of the church being holy and without blemish. Percentage-wise, think about this with me for just a moment. Percentage-wise, there are really very few people, there's too many, but they're comparatively, in percentages, there are few who are rapists and murderers, child molesters, killers, extortioners. Yet, according to the Word of God, most of the population is going down the broad way to destruction. Why? Because it's not the major dreaded and terrible sins that will cause so many people to miss the rapture or heaven and then send them to hell. It's only a blemish that will stain most people's life's road. That's why it's important for us to consider today only a blemish. What seems like a little compromise can lead to a major spiritual and moral failure. Samson should never, in the first place, started a relationship with the Philistine woman Delilah. In fact, her name means she who weakens. The relationship, of course, led to conversation. And then the conversation led to familiarity. And then beyond. Samson stayed in dialogue with sin, if you please, about the secret of his strength and commitment, instead of stopping the conversation. And so the questions and the answers went from seven green withs, as the scripture calls them, which are bowstrings, the string, the fiber that is made in a bow. Then when she found that that wasn't the secret, there was, try the new ropes that have never been occupied, and then I'll be just as weak. He was toying with sin. He was conversing. He was dialoguing with only a blemish and just a little bit of compromise. The third time he tells her, and it gets a little bit closer. He's answering closer to the secret when he talks about the weaving of his hair in with the web and the weaver's beam. He's getting closer and closer. And, of course, then finally, on the fourth occurrence of questioning, he gives her the true reason. I want to stop and insert something the Lord spoke to me. And that is that I am preaching to someone right now that it is not sin yet . There is a little bit of temptation. And then there has been a little more of compromise in your values. It's that same pathway, that same dialoguing that was happening between Samson and Delilah. I just remind you today, it will only take a blemish to keep you from heaven, or let me go ahead and just say the dreaded phrase, send you to hell. Because hell's real. If we could catch a glimpse of hell today, and loved ones or anybody else suffering that fate, I would be saying, I got to preach a message. And you would be saying, I need to pray. And I need to do whatever possible to help those who are in error and sin right now. And then also, we would all add to this, I need to make sure that I am without a spot, without a blemish, without a wrinkle. The real reason Samson compromised his spiritual values and told the secret is simply he didn't see little things as big things. And the Holy Ghost is shining a light, and he's really putting a magnifying glass on that thought concept, because we like to press it down in our flesh and in our human thinking. Sin and our involvements in it. We want to minimize that. But it is what it is. And the Lord is putting an emphasis and to help us not to make the same mistake that Samson made, to see that he did not see the little things as big things. He thought a little disobedience wasn't really that big of a deal. It doesn't matter what God's word says, not just in this little area. It doesn't matter what my spiritual leadership teaches from the word of God about. It's just a little disobedience. It's not all that big of a deal. In his mind, and this has happened to others too, as long as he meant well, despite not doing well, everything was going to be okay. What he failed to realize is that a little disobedience opens the door for big disobedience. Every tragic thing that happened in Samson's life happened as a result of temptations that started small and resulted in large, far-reaching ramifications. Little by little, Samson ended up making a major mistake, and he paid a huge price. He paid the relationship with Jehovah, he paid the relationship with his family, and eventually it did cost him his life. Every day, well-meaning people, well-meaning Christians, become entangled in situations and circumstances that are miles outside of God's purpose. Those folks never intended to stray so far. They just thought it would be a small detour. But what seemed like such a little thing, this is what happens. What seems like such a little thing gains momentum and becomes extremely big. So, a little sin in your life is a big problem. It's not little sin, little problem. It's little any big sin is big problem. Thank God for his cleansing power. Thank God for his forgiving power. Now, God does care about little, I'll use one of our human words, little picky things. That's what we think they are. And when he says that he cares about them, he means, I'm going to take the necessary actions, whether it's a blessing because somebody did one of those little picky things and obeyed, or if it's judgment because they failed to see the importance of it. He's going to take whatever necessary action. Those little picky things. For instance, what does taking off your shoes have to do with salvation? But God said to Moses, my prescription is where you're standing, I know it's a desert, I know it looks like any other place, but my law and my word says it's holy ground. Little. And of course, God's blessing was upon Moses, because he obeyed. God made Moses do that before he would continue his work through Moses. I appeal to you today on anything that seems like a little thing, and it may be a little thing, but if God's asking it, it's big. And it will pay big dividends one way or the other. You know, this world and our culture is taking pot shots at God, saying he's too strict, his word isn't relevant, And it would even try to enter, because we're still human, our hearts and minds. I mean, this is a pretty strong judgment here. When the ark is rocking back and forth on the cart, and God had already said, don't touch it. But somebody reached their hand out to touch it and steady it. And when he did, they died. God means what he says. They broke God's rules. And he's the sovereign God. And he's got the right to make the rules. And if we really love him and trust him, we won't argue with him about the rules, because we'll have this trust. God, if you're asking me to do it or not to do it, I love you and I trust you and I know you'll make the right decision. Do not get into an argument dialogue with God about little things. And I'm not talking about dialogue only when we are praying or talking to God or talking directly to God, but we're in dialogue with God when we're reading his word. Right now, we're in dialogue with God because he's giving a message to us. And so it's very important that we don't get into a debate with God. But we say, God, I trust you and I love you. You see, God's concerned about little things. Not even a sparrow goes hungry. He said, and I believe him, and he said, there's not a hair on your head that is unnumbered. He knows and sees all. No little thing we do goes unnoticed. And the writer in Hebrews said, neither is there any creature. In other words, he knows about everyone everywhere. None of that is not manifest in his sight. Everything's exposed. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of the one with whom we have to do. In other words, with the one that we must explain all things to, if not now, on some future day. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. I'm just going to tack this on here, and I may touch it later. But it bothers me for preachers to try to dumb down the word of God. And I do not ever want to fall in that trap of deception to say, so it will please the people. I will not travel down the pathway of your word, God, if it's an uncomfortable part of the pathway. The word is what it is. Neither is there anybody, any creature, not manifested in his sight. Everything, he sees it, major and minor. And God keeps good books. And he pays attention to, first of all, seemingly small spiritual commitments, like your faithfulness here today. It may seem like one other Sunday to us, but I believe it's bigger than that to God. And not only this Sunday, but previous Sundays and the coming Sundays that you intend, and your faithfulness to what has become to some in the minds to their minds, a lesser important time of midweek service. I'll just tell you, it counts to God. It counts both ways to God. Your daily prayer, he sees it, and it counts to him. He sees every verse and every chapter that you read from his word. He sees it. He counts every meal or day that you have fasted. And in the sense of warning, I want to talk to us a little bit about fasting. I'll just say it the way it appears. Fasting has almost become a joke, even among apostolics. Enough of a joke where if I do it, fine, or if I don't do it, fine. And similarly, the reading of the word of the Lord or faithfulness or giving, you could probably mention. But your time of fasting is a time of crucifying yourself and putting yourself in the position. And you know, I wouldn't necessarily need to talk about these things if sin was lessening and subsiding and righteousness was overwhelming our culture. And if you really had to struggle to backslide, I'm going to tell you, there's no struggle to backslide. Now, yeah, we do have to climb over conviction. You have to climb over messages like this and climb over prayers of people that some of them are even long gone, but their prayer lingers on. But I'm talking about the culture of things around us. And I know there could be other areas of faithfulness that I could mention. But I'm responsible as your pastor to address the areas I notice where you're slipping and falling short. What good does it do for a medical doctor to look, examine, and diagnose and see a cancer and act like it's not there? And fail to tell the patient for whom he is responsible. I just want to offer to you your prayer, your reading of the word of the Lord, your fasting, your continued faithfulness to the house of God will strengthen you. And to not do those things, to not be here faithfully, to not read the word of the Lord, to not pray, that is not strengthening you spiritually. It's doing the very opposite. It is weakening you to a point where there is only a blemish. And he also sees and means what he says about small sinful activities and behaviors. Blemish sins. You know, God does mean what he says. We live in a culture where we don't always mean what we say. And others do not always mean what they say. I won't go far down that road. I got a few examples, but I'll. So, consequently, we do not believe God means what he says and expects in his word. But God means what he says about his church, about his expectations in Ephesians 5:27 for each one of us individually. And he said in that verse, when the saved are presented, they will be presented not having spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. Anything like it. Anything close to it. And that church will be without blemish. Meaning, our lives must be free and clear and without a minor or major defect. Without a stain, small or large, without a faulty spot on or in our lives. You say, Pastor, that's sounding pretty tight and pretty close. And we're not perfect. Well, God already knows that. And I think we've all found that out about each other too. But the truth remains, we cannot water down the truths of God's word because it makes us feel better. I'm going to tell you, feeling better is going to kill some people. In other words, I don't feel good, or I don't feel like that is wrong, or I don't feel like that. That's going to kill some people. Physically maybe, but spiritually for sure. So he said, without a blemish. Now, just going to tell you how I really feel, okay? I believe you want to hear this. But even if you do not, I need to tell you that God means what he says when he says without a blemish. None of us, leader, saint, can be so overly concerned about how we are going to be received that we compromise truth. I'm going to tell you what I don't want in heaven. And this is a little bit selfish, but I'm just borrowing the pulpit for this right now. What I don't want that day is say, Pastor, you didn't preach that. You didn't tell me that it would only take a blemish. Now, the response right now is it's a little tight and somewhat a little uncomfortable. But on the day that really counts, you're going to say, I thank God for every sacrifice I ever had to make to serve God. I thank God for every prayer prayed, every meal fasted. It is going to be worth it because God counts small things. And he doesn't only do that in judgment, he does that in blessing too. I believe you want to hear it. That one small sin can devastate and destroy your life here and your eternity. There's no way to see it here today. But eternity is in this room. Eternity. What I'm saying and what you're receiving has eternal implications. There are people here. Before this, I'd ask some people to pray with me and for me for this message. One of them came to me shortly before service and said, Pastor, as I was praying, I saw something come up behind you and grasp you so tightly to try to keep you from saying the things that you felt led of the Lord to say. And so that person said, I prayed for you and against that. And I had just been caught, it wasn't probably 60 to 90 seconds before that I was contemplating whether or not to say some of the things that I have just said and some that I'm just about ready to say. First, I knew the message was from the Lord, but secondly, when you get a spiritual confirmation and affirmation, it's the Lord's way of helping this weak human flesh that sometimes wants to shy away from doing what is right and doing what needs to be done. And so, let's just get face to face right now. There are people here who really don't think that God means what he is saying in this message and even in the entirety of his word. To you, service will be done in about 9 minutes. You'll leave the building that you've entered numbers of times. Your day's going to go on. Possibly your week, the rest of this month, the rest of this year, and very likely the rest of your life. You're not going to lose your job. There's not going to be a tragedy in your family. But because of a blemish, tragedy of tragedies, you are lost. You will miss heaven, and in your present condition, you will go to hell. Somebody needs to say that. And then somebody needs to respond. We need intercession today. And I'm making a call right now for a spirit of intercession. Because there is no one who is spiritual who would ever want anybody to miss heaven or go to eternal destruction and eternal torment. We also need repentance today. I'm asking for people sensitive to the Lord all over this building. I'm going to ask you to begin to pray in your spirit or however that you feel. We need intercession. But we need repentance. It would be the right thing, not just the good thing, it would be the right thing for every living life and soul in this room to repent before we leave these doors today. Because there's a merciful God. I would feel empty if I made a call to repentance. I would feel futile and frustrated to make that kind of a call if there wasn't going to be some kind of a response from God. But there's going to be a response from God. He's going to take His precious blood and going to cover that blemish, that wrong, or that failure, or that sin. He's going to cleanse it so that you will be made white as snow. The book of Revelation says there's going to be some people that are going to walk into heaven unspotted. Their garments untainted and unspotted. We need His mercy and His love filling this place. So God put a hope and a remedy for the blemish. It's in the preceding verse, right before verse 27 of Ephesians 5. Here it is, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Verse 27 is a reality check. It's a merciful warning. It tells us this is really real. Spot or a blemish will keep us from God and from heaven. And He wants us to ask, do I have one? But then God is providing in verse 26 an opportunity to be washed and cleansed through His Word. What He is saying, and excuse the reference today, but what He is saying is we can get washed through preaching like this. We can get washed through verses like we have read. And then through the move of Holy Ghost conviction that is in this service right now. I don't know how you want to do this. I'd like for you to bow your heads and close your eyes. You can either come to this front or if you want to kneel right where you are. I'm going to ask in just solemnness and respect and reverence to God and others. It is only if you are moving to the place of the altar that you would look. Otherwise, find yourself a place of prayer, intercession, and repentance. And the covering of the Lord is here and with us. Calvary and the resurrection that we celebrated last week is not just an isolated holy day or holiday. But that blood still covers. And His Word still penetrates. And His goodness still overwhelms. And His love is as deep as the oceans and even deeper. And now, Lord, we plunge ourselves headlong into Your love. God, help us to believe that You mean what You say. What You have described in Your Word. That You mean with intention to draw us to you when you send both a message and a spirit of conviction, O Lord. Help us now to be alert. Help us now.